How to Teach Young People Social Awareness and Self-Awareness. You're listening to Humankind. I'm David Freudberg.
It's the aspect of education that is most frequently overlooked as we race to pile more curriculum and more materials and more test-taking and more measurement onto these teachers and these kids. And so our point of view was, if you want healthy students, you have to create healthy teachers, and you have to create a relationship of trust between them.
Jeff Snipes is co-founder of Millennium School, a remarkable middle school in San Francisco.
It's children honestly being themselves, being open, being human, talking to each other. If you can create smaller groups, talking to each other, listening to each other, the teacher embodying it and setting the example, I've been blown away with how fast it takes off. People want this. Human beings want connection. We don't want to be alone. We don't want to be sad. We don't want to be depressed. We don't want to be stressed.
Millennium operates a private school begun in 2016, what they call their lab school, attended by about 80 high-energy kids, grades 6 through 8. But they have also now expanded into a public middle school, hoping to apply similar educational techniques.
Schools traditionally have taught the same way for 100 years, and the subjects are the same. And yet today we have so much information around what does lead to a happy, fulfilling life and a successful career and habits of mind that allow us to live more of an integrated life. And I couldn't find a school that did that. So I was part of a team of parents that helped start one for my own children.
With entrepreneurial spirit and Jeff's organizational skills honed in the private sector, they founded Millennium School, which shares space with a cathedral in San Francisco's Mission District. Millennium attracted nonprofit funding from foundation and other sources. The aim is to develop well-rounded students who are not just academically accomplished, but also competent in the skills of emotional intelligence that help us to relate sensitively to others and to understand ourselves.
When I went looking for a school that taught that for my own three children, I was surprised that I couldn't find schools with a more progressive curriculum around those objectives. We begin with a lot of internal reflection. We ask some questions, you know, who are you? What do you like to do? What are you most afraid of? What kind of life do you want to live? How do you like interacting with other people? Do you have a sense of how you could provide some service in the world as you grow up? And by tapping into some of these inner questions, we then ask them how they would like to bring them out into the world.
The key for Millennium School is to cultivate the whole student, not just a young person's book knowledge, a recognition that success in school doesn't occur in a vacuum, that it's heavily influenced by the social and emotional conditions experienced by that child.
We believe that well-being is a matter of integrating the inner and outer lives of these young students. We live in a world today where almost all emphasis is on the outer life, the appearance, the recognition, the Facebook page, the Instagram photos.
Search, but you can do an empty search and get links to pages with every student's picture. It's slightly obnoxious that they only let you view one picture at a time, and there's no way I'm going to go to 500 pages to download pics one at a time, so it's definitely necessary.
This is the world these students are growing up in. They think that all that matters is what's on the outside. And yet, when you sit down and talk to these young ones, they're very aware that inside they're suffering. More and more they're disconnected from their peers. All of their interaction is done online. There's a greater sense of isolation. There's an increasing level of stress. They feel enormous pressure to live up to standards that are very difficult for anyone to live up to. So our goal in terms of building a foundation for well-being is to find a way to align this inner and outer self in a healthier way.
The students need this.
Millennium School science teacher Lindsay Burke.
If you think about mental health and you think about our most vulnerable populations. They don't need more minutes of math and reading. They need more support. And I feel like this is one of the strongest ways that we can really support them and then support the teachers in supporting them.
I sat down with students at Millennium who told me about their experience at the school. 3 8th graders described an atmosphere that strives hard to be welcoming. Here's Summer Williams.
The students just, if they have a problem that's going on and they don't want to talk to their parents or they just want to bring it up, they won't hesitate, they won't feel like they'll be ostracized or made fun of, or everyone's just there to support them. So if they're ever going through something rough, they can come out and say that, and if they're going through something happy, everyone else can help share their happiness, which I think is great. And everyone's just so close-knit, and even if you're not best friends with someone, you still really like them and you know them pretty well, as if they were your best friend.
But even with people who are sincerely trying to connect, disputes sometimes arise. And how the Millennium community handles inevitable disagreements derives from a carefully considered framework.
Well, I think at any school there are going to be conflicts. It's just a thing that happens, especially in close friendships, because not everything's going to be all happy all the time. But the thing I love about Millennium is how instead of ignoring conflicts and stifling your anger, they have all these different methods to resolve conflicts. Like the clearing model, for example, where we, if we have a conflict with a friend or a teacher or anyone, it could be a family member too, they've taught us how to tell them the facts first, then the story, like what happened from like a third person view maybe, and then the story we made up in our head, like how we might have warped what happened to fit a certain idea that we had, then our emotions, how we felt about the situations, our sensations, and then what like our part in the conflict was so that we can be aware of that, and then also what we want out of it. Because obviously, most people don't want to be in a conflict, and the way to resolve conflicts is to first be aware of them, which I think Millennium does a really good job of doing.
The clearing process encompasses several principles of a conflict resolution strategy known as nonviolent communication. It was formulated by the late Marshall Rosenberg, a far-sighted professional mediator and psychologist.
Clearing model, as Summer said, has the 6 main steps.
This is Millennium Middle School student Nevin Lalick.
But it's usually between 2 people. Let's say one person said something and the other person found it offensive. And so the person who found it offensive calls a clearing with them, and it's very confidential. No one knows about it unless the 2 people agree that it's shareable. So how it works is you can choose 2 things. To have a moderator, to have someone who is on neutral ground, who isn't favoring one person or the other. So you can call in a teacher, like we did when we first started the school and we're developing the clearing model. But over time, kids thought, wouldn't it be cool if a kid moderated it? So there's this group that meets every Tuesday at lunch recess. They're called the Peer Counseling Group.
It's facilitated by Chris Baum, a one-time public school teacher who today serves as Millennium's head of school.
It's led by him, and there are a couple 8th graders and a few 6th graders in there. And basically every Tuesday we come there, and we share whatever conflicts we think are going on, and we can call clearings like that.
So when Nevin is called on to moderate a disagreement, he brings the parties together and formally kicks off the dialogue. Everyone's seated, they tell the facts as they interpret them, and others listen. Each side is then asked to repeat back the version they heard to confirm they are in fact understanding the other person's position. And they're then asked, "Do you feel heard?"
That's what a clearing is, and me as a moderator, I make sure I make sure that they are clear, or else it's kind of my job to make sure it's clear, or they don't really leave until it is clear. It's not you know, like a casual conversation. You can't just kind of like, you know, be thinking about a little something else, kind of letting your words fall out a bit loosely. You really need to like think, and you really need to listen about what's going on. And I myself, I believe that I am capable of that kind of thing. So for me, all I really need to do is focus, and I am able to do it. But you still need to try. And I know what I'm doing, but I still need to try.
So when you say you need to really focus, is there a tendency sometimes to lose focus, to get distracted in a kind of an intense process like that?
Of course. I mean, I feel like anyone would try to get distracted in those kinds of intense situations where you don't really want to kind of be a part of that. You just want to have your distance and do your own kind of thing, because even though the clearing is a very calm thing, solving issues can always be a bit tense.
Here's Millennium student Shima Konishi Gray.
For me, usually I get really excited. Excited in a way of like we can like learn from like what the other person is thinking. Because I know definitely when I'm in a conflict, I want to hear what the other person's opinion is, you know, about like what's happening. And also when you're having like a conflict, like you can't just push it away. Like it's not just going to disappear if you stop thinking about it. Like it's always going to come back to you, and it's just going to nag you and nag you and nag you, and it's going to be super like annoying. So having this clearing is just like a nice way to like take off all the weight off your shoulders and not worry about something that's just going to come back to you.
This music was recorded at a morning gathering of students and faculty in the gym at Millennium. They sat in a circle where all could see each other. The musicians were faculty members who performed as students penned gratitude letters to other kids and to adults. The assignment was to write something they appreciated about that person. It's a refreshing alternative to the meanness that sometimes happens among adolescents. We're exploring Millennium School in San Francisco, a learning lab attended by 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. The school believes each student has infinite potential to make a positive impact in the world. You're listening to Humankind. I'm David Freudberg. For more information on this segment, Whole Teachers, Whole Students, and to obtain audio downloads or CDs, please visit humanmedia.org. In 2015, several California public school districts broadened the way that quality of education is evaluated. Instead of a narrow focus on math and language arts, they now also assess how safe people feel at school, whether they have a sense of belonging and other social and emotional factors. This is measured based on student, staff, and parent surveys. So the Millennium Project found an opening to expand its reach into a public education setting. This is A.P. Giannini Middle School, named for the founder of Bank of America. With nearly 1,200 students, it's San Francisco's largest middle school, so has a different feel from the calmer atmosphere of Millennium Lab School. But sixth grade teachers here have adapted some of the techniques. The principal is Ty Shoman.
This developmental stage from 11 to 14, students are grappling with identity, shifts physically and emotionally. Middle school is that time, and it's such an important time to show kids that there are caring individuals, that they have the tools to navigate despair and fear. And that's one of the reasons why the social emotional work is so critical, not just here to do academic work.
The relationship between teacher and student is a huge part of a student's success in that classroom and moving forward in their education.
Lindsay Yellen teaches English and social studies at AP Giannini.
It's a two-way street. It's not just the student showing up, it's the teacher showing up. And the teacher, if the teacher's showing up in a way that's, you know, they're not open, or they're not, or maybe they have, you know, their own biases, or maybe they're just not in the best mood that day. It directly affects the kids, and we need to think about the teacher. When we think about the whole student, we also need to think about the teacher, because they're very much a part of that equation. I think if we take care of our teachers, if our teachers take care of themselves and our schools take care of our teachers, then it will only be a positive impact on the students.
We have millions of teachers who care so much, and the turnover rate and the burnout rate is incredibly high.
Chris Baum of Millennium Lab School.
So we have to orient the system towards supporting teachers in a different way, and then knowing that the modeling that will come from that of how teachers can be around students will have a huge impact on student well-being. And it has to come through that way. An adolescent is not going to trust a teacher reading a script about well-being if they think that is not a well person.
So self-care practices by teachers are essential for their own well-being, and as a way to model positive behaviors for the kids. This means that teachers carve out time in their own schedule for regular fitness activity and quiet time to recenter themselves. It also requires setting personal boundaries to strike a healthy work-life balance.
Both public and private educators haven't thought that teacher well-being was a trainable thing. Just like people are now realizing that the skills to feel happy are to some extent trainable skills versus traits that you just have or don't have. And so I think neither traditional private schools nor public schools have put energy toward it because they didn't know that it was something you could work on. And now there's a sense, they've known the whole time that teacher turnover is a huge problem. I think now there's a sense that there's enough research and clarity about how to help people develop greater well-being that we could actually focus on this meaningfully and retain teachers better and have them perform better if we focus on their mental health and their well-being as well.
As we've heard, the Millennium Project promotes the personal development of both students and teachers because ultimately they're interrelated. It profoundly affects the learning environment. Co-founder Jeff Snipes.
We find that most traditional education methods are primarily preoccupied with the mind. And even within that dimension, most education is very, very narrowly focused. Certain types of cognitive capacities primarily focused on short-term memory. How can you remember content for the test long enough to pass the test and get the grade and then move on to the next exercise? Our definition of success is much broader. It's emotional health. It's social health. It's being in touch with your imagination, having access to creativity. Understanding how your actions and decisions might have unintended consequences on others. Seeing the interconnection of systems and patterns so that we understand that as human beings in the world, it's not just about us. We're affecting each other. We're affecting the community. We're affecting the environment. It's very difficult to create an academic curriculum that addresses those topics if you don't first address the inner life of the individual, because the academic topics are just window dressing if you haven't gotten to the root cause of the needs and beliefs and values and kind of core internal motivation of each person.
And that requires strengthening students' capacity for contemplation, being able to take a pause, to quiet down, to be present, to regain perspective. Millennium science teacher Lindsay Burke.
We have structured mindfulness breaks throughout the day.
What does that mean, that the whole class pauses for
a minute? Sometimes it's even shorter. So even after we have movement break, which is essentially recess, where the kids in the morning after about an hour of class, they go run around in the gym and can go outside, socialize. And then before we start class again, we do mindfulness. And it's really up to the teacher to run that. Sometimes I have a moment of silence. Sometimes I do a guided meditation. Sometimes we just take a few mindful breaths. So it really depends on the day. But they have, I would say, an average from 3 to 5 mindfulness moments throughout the day, structured. And so that is kind of working the muscle of, hey, let me check in. What do I need right now? Do I need to eat? Do I have a lot of energy? Is something really on my mind? And so that's going to allow them to really tune into their moral compass. And it forces us as adults to stop and do the same.
The ability to witness yourself is one of the most important developmental markers for adolescence. Can you notice the patterns in your own thought? It's very hard to do at the beginning of adolescence. Sixth graders, it's kind of unlikely. But as they get older, in 7th and 8th grade, it's absolutely possible if it's trained and modeled. And I just think back on my own middle school. What if I had been able to notice my own patterns of thought and witness myself compassionately? I don't think I figured that out until a long time afterwards. So if you're regularly noticing, that gives us as adults the fodder to work with them in all kinds of ways. Notice the patterns of your emotions. Notice what's triggering you. Notice when you get stuck in a loop of thoughts. We can't really ask them those things unless they have that basic ability, that muscle, as Lindsay put it, to recenter themselves and keep going back to witnessing what's happening inside. That's our ground to work with.
It can be scary for adults. It could be scary for kids to truly look into the mirror.
And imagine when that mirror, what you're seeing is changing dramatically every day. If you're 11, 12, 13 years old, physically, emotionally, cognitively changing, it's an incredibly strange and mysterious hero's journey of a process. You don't know when it starts. You're pulled out of something comfortable and flung onto a road that you might not even want to be on, but puberty happens and you're going to evolve. So we want to appreciate the mystery of it together, but have the tool to notice what's changing.
Millennium students on the school's basketball court. Meaningful comparisons of academic performance data are premature for the middle schoolers here. But Chris Baum, the head of school, reports considerable improvement in students' ability to remain focused and to handle stressful situations, which is consistent with findings for social and emotional education in other settings. He also says the Millennium kids are learning how to disagree with kindness and respect. Co-founder Jeff Snipes.
I've been blown away by the transformation of these students. We've now had them for 3 years. And I'll tell you, a couple things happen. There's an individual shift that happens. And the individual shift is they mature so much more quickly into really grounded human beings. Instead of looking outside for the answer or to see what's popular or to see what other people think, the students stop, get quiet, go inside, reflect, and see what do they think. And that internal grounding leads to a very different level of self-confidence. With that self-confidence, there's less drama, there's less meanness, there's less bullying, because they don't need to manipulate others to feel good about themselves. They feel good on the inside first.
Jeff Snipes is co-founder of Millennium School in San Francisco. You're listening to Humankind. I'm David Freudberg. Studio recording by Antonio Oliart Rose. Editorial assistance from Miles Blackwood Robinson, Kathy Graham, and Ken Rogers. Webmaster Brian K. Johnson. Special thanks to Ford Fisher of News to Share, Jenny Cataldo, David Cruz, and Tony Buck. Our program is presented by Human Media.
To purchase a CD copy of this program, please call 1-800-5-LISTEN. That's 1-800-5-LISTEN. Or visit our website, where you can also obtain an audio download of this and our other programs and can hear selected episodes free. You can access free written materials related to this program as well. Our web address is humanmedia.org. Again, if you'd like to purchase a CD copy of Humankind by phone, please call 1-800-5-LISTEN. and our web address is humanmedia.org.
And you can subscribe to our free weekly podcast, Humankind on Public Radio. It's available at Apple Podcasts and elsewhere. This segment, part two of Whole Teachers, Whole Students, is Humankind program number 272.
The executive producer is David Freudberg. This is Humankind.